ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Monday, May 21st, 2018. Good afternoon, Dave.
Good afternoon, Melody.
Oh, interesting weekend, interesting day, and I'm really proud of gold. They whacked gold in the early morning trades, and I mean, it was down like $8, and hey, I'm happy. Hey, we're at least up a dime, so yay.
Hey.
Yay. So we're at $12.93, holding that level at $1,293, and silver was up 6 cents today at $16.59. Platinum was up $12 today at $902. Palladium was up big day, almost look at that, almost about 2.75% up $25 at $997. And we'll talk about the trade war is no longer, so of course they told us we weren't in a trade war, but now all of a sudden the trade war is over. But anyway,
it's in remission.
Yeah, the USDX today, little pressure on that, down 0.05 at 93.59. crude oil was up big today, 1.15 at 72.43. and the paper markets today, you had the Dow popped over 300 points and very, you know, right when the markets opened, and pretty much stayed there all day long. It was like, okay, let's adjust these computers to up 300 points and we can go out and have lunch. And that's what they did. The Dow is up 298 points, almost 300, at 25,013. And I'll guarantee you they'll keep it at 25,000 going into the three-day weekend, because everybody needs to believe that the economy is soaring. The NASDAQ is up 39 points at 7,395. The S&P is up 20 at 2,733. 10-year yield flat from Friday, 3.06. The euro came back a little bit, 118 for the euro. London was up big. That's probably a hangover from the royal wedding. It was up a little over 1%. Everybody's in a happy mood over there. And let's see. And everything is pretty much, quiet other than that. Not that it's quiet, but the markets seem to be. There's a lot of treasury auctions this week. And we're going to be talking about that, and we'll be talking a little bit about the tariffs. And, it's interesting that, they need China's money to buy our debt. And I'm sorry, I think that is the behind. 1 minute we're on tariffs that, they're never coming off, and the next thing there's no tariffs, and we need China's money more than we need them buying, I think, our soybeans. I don't know. But anyway, consumer debt is to hit $4 trillion by the end of the year. And we said it before. Woo-hoo! Americans are in a borrowing mood. And the total tap for consumer debt could reach a record $4 trillion by the end of 2018. That's according to LendingTree. They analyze data from the Federal Reserve on non-mortgage debt. And that non-mortgage debt includes auto loans, credit cards, personal loans, student loans. And Americans owe more than 26% of their annual income to this debt. And that's up from 22% in 2010. See, no one learns any lessons. It's also higher than debt levels were during the mid-2000s, when credit availability had soared. We're looking at debts on auto loans and credit cards. They're climbing by more than 7% annually. You have housing debt. It's just a little more than 2%. Consumer credit has been rising by 5% to 6% for about 2 years. And, the LendingTree chief economist says this kind of growth is not surprising and is in keeping with the growth of consumer debt that has been happening since 2012. And let's see if there's anything else interesting in that bit of information that we have. Credit card delinquency rates, which are about 2.4% are still kind of low. It's a level of debt that's pretty manageable for consumers on aggregate. But there are some things that you should consider if you find your personal debts rising, right, Dave?
Right, Melody. You know, first, know where your money is going. I mean, while paying 10% of your income a month toward non-mortgage debt, you know, isn't necessarily a danger zone, according to Roger Ma, anyway. He's a certified planner and founder of an organization called Life Laid Out, you know. But he says you ought to watch how those debts are allocated. High-interest credit card debt, for example, that continues to climb every month is a big concern, while lower interest rate debt on auto loans or student loans may not have the same cause for worry. But that increase in consumer debt from 22 to 26% over the last 8 years, I mean, on the one hand, you might think, well, that's only 4 percentage points. But measured as a percent increase, that 22 to 26 represents almost a 22, 4, that's close to a 20% increase. That's something to be concerned about. The other thing that you ought to consider, Melody, is what's going to happen to interest rates. You know, as we know, the Fed plans to raise interest rates a total of 3 or 4 times this year, you know, which is inevitably going to make consumer debt more expensive than it is right now. Consumers probably ought to consider refinancing some of their debt, you know, and that could mean moving credit card debt at 16% to a personal loan, or maybe a home equity line of credit that offers, you know, 4, 6, or even 8%, a heck of a lot better than the 14, 16, 18, or 20 many people are paying on their credit cards. And also could mean refinancing student loans at a fixed rate to guard against those rate hikes.
What people really have to understand is there's reasons why this credit card is, or these this consumer debt is rising. Number one, wages are not growing.
Yeah.
They're using this debt for personal needs. And, you know, the first thing, and I think we've always talked about and everything, pay it off as soon as you can. But there are some you could refinance to help you while you do that. And, you know, stay within your means. And regardless of your personal debt levels, you should have a good sense of how much money you have coming in and going out. And if you find you're spending beyond your means, you should cut things. You know, you can cut unnecessary subscriptions. You can, you know, perhaps reduce your bank fees. You can scale back on shopping. It is amazing when you cut back on... Oh, I know it.
Shopping?
And that's coming from a girl. But you can, it's amazing if you can cut back on these little things. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, it sure does.
It makes, and you can apply those savings to your debt, and it's amazing how quickly you'll see it. You can whittle down your debts. You know.
Have a budget, folks. Yeah. Have a budget and stick with it. You can lead by example because we know our federal government surely isn't. Yeah. Heck, they typically don't even pass budgets anymore, much less stick to them.
That's true. And you know what the government does is what they want the people to do also. They want you out there spending. They want you out there going into debt. So it just keeps their little world going, and it keeps these all these, you know, and it's an election year. So they'll do their best to make sure that, you know, I have no doubt that they'll probably come out with a GDP of over 3%. It's an election year. But it's not going to stay that way for the, I mean, and I have a hard time saying that because deep in my heart, I know it's not 3.1%. But who knows what figures they'll come out during this year. You know, we've often talked, and we've talked more and more about Sears. Sears has a little bit of a warm spot in our hearts, you know. I mean, Sears is a store like JCPenney's. We grew up as we were kids, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, it's part of our history, part of our things that we can relate to at Christmas shopping and things like that. So when you see, you know, Sears was, you know, the heart of this, kind of like a heart of this country almost, you know, it was part of this country.
My Craftsman riding mower, Melody, yes, is now celebrating its 18th year in my shed.
Wow.
And as much as I neglect it, you know, with routine maintenance, it still keeps on chugging.
Wow. But you can't get those anymore. Craftsman's was sold out to some Chinese company, I believe. And,
yeah.
You know, so no more. So, yeah, I mean, it's a big deal when they're quietly closing at least 40 stores in 24 states. They continue to close them. And that was in addition to the 166 stores that they had previously said it would close this year. Most of the stores are on this new list is going to close in July and August. Sears has not publicly announced many of the stores closing slated for this year. The Business Insider said last month that some of the employees at the closing stores would be eligible for severance pay packages, and Sears has cut its store count in half over the last 5 years.
Wow.
Company had 1,002 stores as of early February, down from 1,980 stores in 2013.
Jeez.
So I don't know what was the peak. I wonder what they had. But
a lot more. Yeah, that's a lot. It's 125 years old.
Yes. So.
Well, you know, switching gears here, we haven't talked a lot about, or at least in detail, about Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies recently. But a couple of articles today and over the weekend have grabbed our attention and stuck in our craw as well, ladies and gentlemen. For example, a Wall Street Journal analysis, a recent one of over 1,400 digital coin offerings. This is instances where private firms raise money off a new cryptocurrency that they create. The analysis found that in 271 cases, that's almost one in five, there were red flags like plagiarism, in investor documents, missing or fake executives, or implications of guaranteed money. It's true.
How do you have missing executives?
Yeah, I guess, you know, they say, you know, hey, Joe Smith is CEO of, you know, this company, and you know, look up Joe Smith, and it's, there's no history of a Joe Smith. Joe Smith, I don't know. Joe Smith works here. You know, those iffy offerings have pulled in over $1 billion from investors, which is an enormous chunk of the approximate $5 billion raised by the 1,450 coins that were studied. Melody, it's becoming clearer and clearer that a large chunk of investors' disposable income has been going into cryptocurrencies over the past year and a half. This is one of the reasons that I think gold and silver prices have been stymied in 2018. You know, it looks like it's going to take a hard lesson for a lot of those investors too, like getting caught up in a new crypto that's based on a bunch of misrepresentations or outright lies, for them to realize that, you know, rather than losing their hard-earned funds in incredibly speculative get-rich-quick schemes like many of those being offered by these new digital coin offerings, their best long-term bets have been here all along. Folks, cryptocurrencies are the caveat emptors of the new millennium. Invest in them only, like Melody has said in the past, if you can afford to lose that money, and only after you've done a lot of research. And then only if you really, truly understand how they work. You know, better yet, instead of betting the house on, you know, this newer class of assets that have no underlying physical value whatsoever, put your hard-earned pocket change into a physical asset that always has had and always will have a natural store of value, something like gold, something like silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver now at 1-800-375-4188 and let our committed team of experts help you. They're standing by now. It's 1-800-375-4188. Melody.
Well, Dave, I like the way you threw that in there.
Oh,
good
absolutely.
Job. Good job. Good job.
I've learned well from my mentor.
Well, you know, there's a lot of, you have regulators in both the United States and Canada. They're launching a widespread crackdown on some cryptocurrency investment schemes. Members of the North American Securities Administrators Association said earlier today, well, that's a mouthful.
It's like a second NASA, except it has an extra A. NASA, what do we call that? NASA squared?
Yeah, maybe.
Or Nassau.
But more than 40 state and provincial watchdogs are participating in Operation Crypto Sweep, and that has triggered at least 70 investigations so far. Although the international task force is far from complete, suspicions have already been confirmed. The market for cryptocurrency investments is saturated with fraud, and our work is only revealing the tip of the iceberg. And this is from Joseph Rotunda, Director of Enforcement at the Texas State Securities Board. Back in May, earlier this month, I should say, we're not out of May yet, as quick as time is flying by, Texas regulators sent a warning letter to the UK-based BT Crush, saying it was violating security laws and misleading investors through its marketing. The company published video showing the interior and workings of what it said was three fully operating mining farms. State regulators said the videos were actually sourced from a publicly available stock footage.
Jeez.
I mean, you know, it really is amazing. And this reminds me so much of the .com, where you just have these people going in there, and it's the greatest thing since popcorn. It didn't matter, because I was reading an article earlier today that none of these cryptocurrencies, none of them are making any profits, and it was just like the .coms. So many of the .coms that people invested in weren't making any money. They were showing losses the first year they were around, second year they were around, and nobody paid any heed to this. And it's the same thing like this here. It's right out there in front. The fraud is there. And nobody pays a lot of heed to it, you know, because of the greed factor. It's, it's surprising.
It's somewhat disconcerting. You know, the state's crackdown come amid growing attention in the U.S. to cryptocurrency scams, you know, including by the Securities and Exchange Commission and by the CFTC, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. The SEC, for example, has brought several fraud cases against operators of these initial coin offerings, and last week it launched a website to help investors recognize scams. You know, Massachusetts regulators are also participating in the crackdown. You know, the state secretary of Commonwealth said that the NASA's task force found roughly 30,000 crypto-related domain name registrations, many of which appeared in late 2017 as the price of Bitcoin neared $20,000. Things are not always as they appear to be, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it certainly is not. But what does appear to be is we're heading into a break. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom with my co-host, Dave Allen. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I did some inventory on some 90%. I still have some dimes left. They're little $25 face value bags, and I got a few of them left at $320. So if you'd like to add those to your portfolio, they're really nice, pretty dimes, AU, BU, mostly BUs, and at the price that you just can't beat. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. And if you purchase $50 face value of the 90% silver, we'll include free shipping for you. So a great deal in that 90% silver. I sold so many of those $10 Liberty gold pieces. They are still at a great buy. And you know, when we saw gold dip this morning, the prices didn't dip. And so you can, when you sell a lot of the pre-33 coins, you can hold prices, and they will go against the spot price if you have pressure on spot gold. You know, the pre-33s can maintain their value without adjusting, and that's exactly what they've done. And I've seen that in some other coins, so it tells me that there's a little bit more interest coming into the gold market, mainly after we've seen the price drop. And so that's a good thing. That's a good thing, and perhaps that's how we're holding on to this, you know, $1,290 level here. But 1-800-375-4188. Visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Better yet, you can purchase a Mint State 62 $10 Liberty gold piece, a $25 face value of the dimes, and we'll include shipping, and that would come to $1,030. So the website, make sure you sign up for the weekly newsletter, and ZTE, it's amazing, ZTE, it's almost becoming like an American
household word.
Axios is reporting today that by dollar value, 60% of electronic components in the Chinese companies ZTE, X, and M phone originates from U.S. companies like Qualcomm, SanDisk, Skyworks Solutions, and Corning. This poses a problem for the Trump administration, not to mention the companies just mentioned, given a U.S. ban on shipments of phone parts to ZTE that began in mid-April. More on this unintended consequence, you know, we'll follow up on future shows. And now you know you have all those corporations, so now you know why we couldn't ban the ZTE and why we had to start negotiating. You see where the pressure is coming from, and
it brings back that old commercial. I don't know if you remember it. I think it was the early cell phone days when before GTE, now Sprint, was in existence. That one commercial that started GTE. And next it's going to be ZTE.
Well, We hope it does. That has a lot of issues. But you know what? This is all part of those, what we're seeing in these trade agreements. You know, it was part of that. It was, you know, we're seeing pressures on both sides, and then they relinquish what even China. And but to me, when I see what is beginning to come out of these negotiations, is we really didn't have the upper hand.
Yeah, you know, a Washington Post article this morning argues that based on the joint U.S.-China statement that was released over the weekend, you know, China looks as if it's winning the trade war with the U.S., or the trade skirmish, as the Post called it, at least so far. Here's the case being made by Axios economics correspondent Heather Long, Melody, a couple of statements here. Notice China didn't agree to a specific amount. That's probably in reference to the initial U.S. demand that China increase its purchase of U.S. goods by, $250 billion?
Yes.
Saturday's statement was brief and lackluster on intellectual property theft, which, of course, is probably the major underlying factor besides the trade deficit with China is, China's forcing U.S. companies that want to do business there to give it its trade secrets. Fox Business host Lou Dobbs said, Chinese say no deal. China's concessions are things it planned to do anyway. The U.S. has agreed to suspend the tariffs in the meantime with zero curbs on China's high-tech plans. Now, Trump's persona has taken a beating from China, says a story at the top of the Post's print front page by David Lynch, who says, or writes, the former business executive who prides himself on his negotiating savvy is facing criticism for bending to the Chinese government, alarming longtime supporters who had welcomed his call for a more confrontational approach to Beijing. Administration officials scrambled to cast the Chinese talks as a victory, while some staunch Trump supporters questioned whether Trump had blinked in the first major confrontation with China.
You know, the one thing that I can say, whether, you know, Trump blinked or, you know, China won and so forth, is this is a topic of discussion that is out in the open.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I do think that is a good thing. I don't think anyone really wins or loses, because I think, we're just entering into a new, you know, world of trade, and countries are positioning, as I said many, many times before. And my concern is we're not in that bargaining position anymore. I don't think we don't have maybe I'm wrong, maybe we do have the economic power, but I don't think we do. You know, you can say, well, both countries are steeped in debt. China went into debt, you know, in a different way. We went into debt to pay our debt, you know, to bail us out. Where China, their debt went into infrastructures. They went around the world while we were trying to bail us out of the Great Recession. They were going around the world making arrangements with emerging markets. They were making economic decisions and so forth. So to say that China doesn't have a problem, well, no, that's not it at all. But we are looking at two different. When you're looking to see who really holds the bargaining chips, I think China kind of, and again, I'm not, you know, praising China in any way, and they're a communist nation, and everybody forgets that. But, we still have to deal, now that we opened the door to negotiations with North Korea, we still need China. So again, there they have the bargaining chip. We're going to bow down to, be a little less confrontational to China because of, so there's a lot of things that I think takes away from our bargaining position with China at this point in time. But I mean, you could see the markets, you know, up 300 points at the open market yesterday. You had, you know, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin, you know, he was on all the talk show hosts yesterday. He just bugs me. But he does. But he sticks to, you know, he's certainly not a Rudy Giuliani, but he certainly sticks to his script. And but he did announce a truce in the trade spat. Some observers were saying that this was foreseeable. Axios had a story headline, "The One-Trick Pony," in which sources who had been in the negotiating room with Trump described his predictable tactics, threaten the outrageous, ratchet up, you know, and so forth. You know, that doesn't really come to, come too much. But Mnuchin said over the weekend, "We're putting the trade war on hold. We have agreed to put the tariffs on hold while we try to execute the framework." So I guess there'll be more talks, particularly with the complications that we have with North Korea's negotiations. And but what does concern me is I do believe that, and President Trump said it, if there's no you know, consent to from North Korea about total denuclearization, it is war. And it was flat out, yeah, that's what it's going to be. And that's a scary thought. So, you know, whatever happens, you know, I hope they can, you know, maybe backing off for, you know, China, letting China, you know, take rein right now will help us there.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, just a little bit ago, you referenced the U.S.'s position in the world, particularly relative to China. Well, we're now reading that, you know, China has outlined strategies for this year, for 2025 and 2050, all designed to displace the U.S. as the dominant global economic national security superpower. You know, China's thinking long-term, Melody. They're acting now and everywhere, it seems. You know, there's certainly no U.S. equivalent of a plan for 2025 or 2050, or really for next year beyond, you know, perhaps some, you know, budgetary outlooks that, you know, I question if they're really looked at by anyone other than perhaps the hired professionals in the budget offices and the government. But China's pouring time, money, infrastructure, and trade into every continent. And that's after promising to fill the global void that we're seeing, you know, in the last year and a half. And as you alluded to, China also has the authoritarian ability to experiment at a scale, steal our tech secrets as they've been doing, and mobilize capital that, frankly, no democracy can match.
And you know what, you know, we look to, I mean, you know, we talk about the past. You know, China got into the WTO, but they didn't hold China up to what they needed to, the humanitarian scale is, you know, they did CIC where they were taken off their berth. There's going to be no more,
the single child limitation?
They're supposedly going to eliminate that totally because their population is not growing enough, they say. So they need, you know, they need the population to continue to grow.
Fuel their growth.
Yeah. They don't want to bring in immigration. They don't want to increase their immigration. They understand that they'd rather have their own population grow. So it is kind of disturbing when what is the U.S. plan for the United States? You know, what is the United States plan? You know, the only thing we talk about 2025 and 2050 is the entitlement programs that they're not going to last. That's our future. And we really don't have a plan. And, you know, I think there should be, you know, unilateral. It'd be nice to see some unilateral trade agreements with some of these countries and so forth. But again, have we lost all of our bargaining chips? And how do you bring manufacturing back to this country. Stuff is going to be by tax reform. Tariffs aren't going to work. We see what happens to the tariffs. You know, so economically, anybody, write me, call me on my 1-800 number and give me some ideas on what is our plan, what is our future. You know, when you have China that's looking to, you know, they're spending and they're pouring their debt into their strategies for 2025 and 2050 just to displace the United States. We all know that. And what does anybody, nobody says anything about it, Dave. You know, China often forces U.S. companies to create joint ventures to do business there. American businesses do just that. Then they hand off their company to often state-controlled Chinese partners. Look at GM. Look at General Motors. They've done it. They've done it with South Korea and China. China is spending nearly 9% of GDP on infrastructure, three times what Americans spend. China has so much capacity to build that it's exporting its materials and labor to other countries to help build their infrastructure. China is building the largest global infrastructure project in history, the Belt and Road Initiative, as antiquated U.S. airports, bridges, roads, electricity systems crumble. China is growing three times as fast as the U.S. economy. At current projections, China's GDP will be larger than America's by 2028. And the numbers don't lie. China controlled 4% of the global economy in 2000, and the U.S. controlled 31%. Today, China has 15%, and we have 24%. Those are some disturbing numbers, Dave.
Indeed they are. And as we know, with money comes what? Power. But what both, you know, Republicans and Democrats in Congress should be even more concerned about is this long-term ambition of China. You don't need the CIA or deep study in Chinese history to understand their grand design. I mean, their president Xi Jinping has laid a lot of it out for everyone to see. Made in China is 2025. The plan is to dominate all futuristic advanced technologies, such as robotics, artificial intelligence, aviation, space, driverless or new energy vehicles. You know, in other words, to dominate the world by crushing the U.S. and Germany and all others in the most important industries of the future. You know, China's 1.3 billion customers are so appealing that U.S. companies are making huge concessions for a chance to sell, you know, to them, like we've said, but namely, you know, giving in to Chinese demands that they hand over, you know, the underlying technologies, otherwise industrial secrets that, you know, certainly not their U.S. peers or the U.S. government have access to. You know, China's super focused on super intelligence, the brains of what comes next. China's beginning to get ahead. We got to catch up.
We're heading into a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. We'll finish up with China's when we come back, so please stay tuned.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. And we had this special. We're combining the Mint State 62 $10 Liberty Gold piece and a $25 face value BU dimes for $1,030. So it's a great little deal. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. And you can buy either or also. You don't have to buy the combined special. So prices would just be broken out, you know, with the same price. So, you know, going into the break, we were really some staggering numbers and about China. And, you know, I'm certainly no China fan, but it is an awakening, Dave.
It's a call to action. You're right. It's a call to wait for America to wake up, Americans to wake up.
Exactly. But I heard they even have a Department of Propaganda.
Oh gosh, you know, this is what you get with certain autocratic communist nations, and China's Department of Propaganda, although it was called something differently decades ago, it's been around for a long time. But it's powerful and well-funded Department of Propaganda has now been tasked, or recently was tasked, with building the same kind of personality cult around of current President Xi Jinping that existed around Mao Zedong, or as we knew him back then, Mao Zedong. The department reportedly aims to control all the information that Chinese people see and hear. Under Xi, the propaganda department has grown stronger and more zealous. The Chinese Communist Party, Melody, has added a disciplinary role to the department's powers. Any member who makes public comments that aren't in line with the Communist Party's policies can be punished. Xi Jinping thought. Xi's 14-point political theory that includes emphasis on core socialist values and party discipline was immortalized in the Communist Party's constitution last November. By March, it was enshrined in the state's constitution as the guiding principles for both party and country. Willie Lam, who's a political scientist at the Chinese University of Hong Kong, said recently, Xi has led a very successful effort to put together a police state apparatus that includes the control of information and, in a sense, the control of people's minds. Melody, 1984 has come to the 2018 China.
Well, we've had it here, so I don't know who's learning from who.
There you go.
China's right. Learning from us, because we've already had, you're right, we've been in 1984 for a while here in the States. But China has state-run and commercial media outlets. But on a controversial issues, especially matters of the foreign policy, they are, of course, fed standard messages by their official news agency. And, of course, it gets its information straight from the Communist Party. Their propaganda, you know, is omnipresent in public life. From internet forums to city streets, U.S. researchers uncovered a massive online propaganda campaign. They estimate that there are nearly 500 million posts on Chinese social media that appear to express the authentic views of ordinary people, but are in fact planted by government employees at the party's direction.
Jeez.
The department also influences school curriculums and academic research, and not just in China. The Xi Jinping thought has become a core component of high school and university syllabuses, with entire courses being taught on the philosophy.
Wow.
And the efforts have reached U.S. shores, with Beijing-backed Confucius Institutes that promote Chinese language and cultural education popping up over at 100 American universities. Hey, Dave, when we were kids, we used to say Confucius says, were we promoting this then?
Yeah, probably unwittingly. You know.
Did you have those one-liners when you were a kid?
Confused. You know, I hope this won't offend anybody, and it's meant in nothing but good jest. I have a coffee cup that I got 30 years ago that I keep my pens and pencils in now, that says, "Confucius say life begins at 30. Parentheses, Confucius died at 29. it's another world, and yet, as you suggest, you know, who's learning from whom here? I don't know where this is going, but one thing you've got to give this socialist, communist, totalitarian nation, China, this long-term planning, particularly now as technologies are changing so rapidly, and in a scarier sense, now that there's a potential vacuum in Asia, in Europe, and across the world, with, you know, the U.S. political scene where it is right now, it's a great opportunity for a nation that has no trouble going into debt, to get further out in front, on its path to try to become the world's number one superpower.
And you know what? I don't know how much trouble.
Oh,
I'm gonna
go
get
ahead.
Well, you know, I understand the politics. You know, we want America to be great. We want America to be great again. And every election is filled with hope and promises. And that's, you know, who we eventually all vote for and so forth. But in today's world, you can't, I don't think, I'm not saying you can't, but I don't think a country can be an economic powerhouse and do business as usual. You still have to maintain those relationships. You know,
absolutely.
many of us don't agree with the relationships. You know, many of us, you know, don't think that we should be members of this and members of that.
Yeah.
But by not being a part of that, then you will lose your standing.
Yeah.
In today's world.
Why are we in bed with the, you know, this country that has a dictator? And as you suggest, the answer usually is, well, if we don't, someone else is, and that someone else is going to be China or Russia in most cases.
You know, and it is true that they didn't protect these trade agreement. They didn't protect the United States in these trade agreements in past. The big question is, can these trade agreements be changed now to benefit the United States, or have we gone a little too far? And again, I'm pleased that these topics are being discussed. And I don't know. I mean, is it just a little too late? Too little, too late. I don't know.
I don't either. I don't either. I think, you know, we're going to have to let the Trump vision, you know, take its course for at least the next 2.5 years. And, you know, the nation, certainly our nation, if not the world of nations, will know better down the road how some of these ideas will have played out.
And I don't think that the tax reform had anything to do with making this country, you know, deal with the trade issues that we face and keeping our power economically. I don't think it had anything to do at all.
It was a bait and switch.
Yes, yes. And in the long run, it's going to hurt a lot of people. But
some respects, I guess you can argue, well, it was a great use of political propaganda.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I agree with that. And I think we'll know sooner than later that that would have had little impact on our economy. That we'll know in a year. I mean, just like Reagan's cuts, you know, in a year and a half, you know, they were in a recession.
Yeah.
So, but if the world goes into a recession, you know, that's the key thing. If we go into a recession, the world goes into a recession, because you got to remember, all of these economies are all propped up by stimulus.
We're interconnected.
And we're interconnected. So when one goes, we're all going to go this time. So at that point in time, which was always my hope, you know, when I thought would be crucial, is when we do go into a world recession, then the United States would have the power to go in there and, you know, perhaps regain some of the things that we've lost in the past. But
like the gold standard, for example?
Like the gold standard, for example.
Maybe that's a good topic to finish up today's show on. What do you think?
Let me go there. What a segue. Great segue there. So go ahead.
Well, you know, we talked the first segment about cryptocurrencies and, you know, just what to look out on and how it could be affecting, you know, the investment in gold. And there certainly seems to be an awful lot of misinformation being peddled out there about gold and Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. One major misconception is this notion that Bitcoin will replace gold as a monetary instrument. You know, some analysts, Melody, believe in such theories that there's just too much gold in the world to be used as money, and, you know, or that it's now just a barbarous relic of the past. And just a year ago, these same supposed analysts were criticizing the mainstream media financial network, Talking Heads, for calling gold as a barbarous relic, but now have jumped on the bandwagon. Well, in one small way, I guess who can blame them? You know, it's been frustrating holding on to gold and silver, patiently waiting for their inevitable rise, and delayed rise, for sure. So when Bitcoin and crypto prices moved up exponentially last year, you know, promising investors vast riches, you know, it was easy for many to drop the precious metals and move into the crypto market, and then they tumbled. And they tumbled big time. Yeah, yet the mindset today is, well, let's make lots more money doing virtually nothing. Thus, it's not surprising to see some, especially inexperienced investors, fall into this way of thinking. You know, one of the ex-precious metal investors, now a crypto analyst who we won't name, suggested in a recent video that gold's owned by the banks, by the bankers, so why would you want to own gold? Well, unfortunately, that's plain false, or at least highly misleading. You know, while the central banks across the globe own a lot of gold, you know, it's a lot less than what private owners and jewelry owners hold, many of whom are the same people. You know, according to the World Gold Council, jewelry accounted for the largest holding of above-ground gold at almost 91,000 metric tons. That's followed by 40,000 of private investment, 32,600 of central bank holdings, and 26,700 of industrial and other uses. So, you know, of the total reported 190,000 metric tons of the world's above-ground gold, 48% jewelry, 21% private investors, just 17% central banks, and industrial and other uses, 14%. You know, in short, private investors own more gold than central banks. Private citizens own a lot more than banks if you include jewelry to the equations, Melody.
You know, there's another myth that there are millions of tons of gold in the world. First, most of the gold ever mined was produced after 1900. 91% of all gold mined since 1493 was produced after 1900. Jeez. There's limited records of gold produced before 1493, but suggests there weren't more than 10,000 to 15,000 metric tons. Second, of the 48.5 billion ounces of silver mined in the world between 1493 and 2016, 81% of it was produced after 1900. So there's been research that suggests that 10 times more silver has been mined than gold for there to be just 1 million tons of gold in above ground supplies in the world. That would equal 32 billion ounces of gold. Wow. No credible resource says there is anything remotely close to that figure.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously central banks do control gold and silver prices, right?
Absolutely. They manipulate.
Through policies that funnel the vast majority of investors into stocks, bonds, even real estate, and now cryptocurrencies. They just, in some countries, they just can't manipulate the price of precious metals too far below their cost of production. So, I mean, the so-called crypto experts don't understand energy or the cost of production that act as a floor for gold and silver prices. That means central banks can't just push the price of gold and silver anywhere they please.
And we're going to have to hold those thoughts until we return. Dave, you'll be back with me on Wednesday. Tomorrow, Butch Paul will be joining me for the hour. So until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe, good night, and God bless. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Melody. Bye-bye.
There seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.